for women and children in crisis since 1955. There's been a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care and where lives have been changed and are being changed. That's at the Evangel Home of Fresno. And thanks for joining us for the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. This is Heartline with your host, Jim Tuck.
Well, welcome, my friends, to this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno. And one of our good friends, Ken Adams, has put this together, as we hope that just goes on and on, as long as the Lord sees fit to keep us on the air. Thanks, Ken, for your good work. We appreciate it more than we can say. We're in Jerry Brenneman's office here at Evangel Home at 137 North Yosemite. Her office is in the Crisis Home, and we have a very special guest. I'm looking forward to talking with Casey. I just sensed something really, really special about this young lady. Now, she's not a resident here, Jerry.
She's not. She never was, and she probably never will be. She's a part-time staff member that's getting more hours, and it's fun for me to be with her in the daytime when she's filling in, because that's basically the best way we can train people. We can train them through the basics, but all the crazy things that happen and all of the things that aren't in the book and those things where you just have to rely on prayer and common sense, Casey has that. So she's one of those people that we feel real comfortable with, that when she's in charge of things, yeah, she might not do exactly what I would do, but so what? Mm-hmm. She still does a good job and gets things done. So that's who we get to talk to today. And she's not only a part-time staff member, she's sort of a quadruple threat talent. She does all sorts of stuff. And it's fun and it's useful here. Mm-hmm. So she goes from cooking to cleaning to counseling to chapel. It's four C's there you got there. But she can do it all. And like if someone doesn't show up for chapel, Casey doesn't miss a beat. She grabs her Bible, she does chapel, and then she moves on to the next thing.
Yeah, and she was leading worship from the piano when I got here this morning in a prayer time and some singing. And so I saw her across the room, listened to what she was doing before I made my way into your office today. Well, Casey, 35 words or less, who are you? No, I'm just kidding. Let's start with how old are you, may I?
Yes, I'm 23, about to be 24 this year.
Okay. Now, did you grow up in Fresno?
No, I grew up in L.A. in the suburb of Carson. I was there for about 18 years of my life. And, so I grew up down there. I came out to Fresno for school at Fresno State.
Okay. Did you finish up there?
Not yet. Still going.
Yeah. Okay. What are you working on?
I'm working on an animal science degree, and I'm going to fuse that in with a musical arrangement.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how that works out. I love it. That's Casey. Yes.
Ooh, music therapy for animals in distress.
Actually, I was thinking more of, because I do care for older people, my great aunt raised me when she was about 80. She raised a whole generation of us.
Well, that's right.
I didn't really realize how old she was until I grew older. Oh. So she passed away when she was 95, 96. And so she raised from, like, my sisters and older cousins, all of us. And I love caring for older people. Mm-hmm. So if I can do music therapy and animal therapy for them, two separate things, or we can bring them together, that would really bring joy to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That excites me. Awesome. Bless your heart, especially because I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Were you raised in the church? Did you come to faith early?
Yes, I was raised in the church. Jesus has always been around me. That's why I really love Evangel Home, because you see people that never knew about Christ or did know about him but totally turned away, and then all of a sudden, boom, something big happens, and they're just on fire. They're passionate about Christ. For me, Jesus was always in my ear, so I kind of set him aside. And when I was 13, I got baptized, and to be honest, didn't really feel anything, but I knew it was something big. And then later on, I received the Holy Spirit, and then I grew into it. But when I just see people, like, totally hit a wall, and then something amazing happens, it just to see the passion that they have for Christ, it makes me want to work harder.
Yeah, that transformation is it's an amazing thing to watch. Now, some of us who came to faith early don't have those great transforming stories to tell, and there are spectacular testimonies out there. On the other hand, we have a lifetime of relationship with Jesus and learning the scriptures and depth of understanding to draw from. Let's move back, Jerry, to you a little bit. Make some observations about what you see. You get to work with a lot of people here, but what specifically makes you excited about Casey?
She's very humble. She's very strong and very humble. That makes her very much a team player, but very much in charge. To be able to be a humble leader is true servant leadership, and that's what I see with her. I remember the first time when Casey called to inquire about a job, and it was like, oh, she left the message that is the message I dread. It's the one that is always left by a 23-year-old that speaks so fast you can't understand them. And then she also spoke very softly, and then I think my answering machine was done and cut her off. Okay. On a busy, busy day, those aren't even the phone calls I return. But because Casey is also what I would say well-connected, not well-connected to powerhouse, wealthy, political people, she's well-connected in the Christian community down here. Pink House, On Ramps Church, a lot of that. That's in our DNA. It is in our blood. The neighborhood sort of things, the Randy White, FIFO, whatever, which of the acronyms University. You were involved in, to me that is very well connected. So that meant that even though the message was left in such a way that I could not understand it, I knew I had to get a hold of her. So I called her back, and I remember saying on my message, probably, next time you call me back, would you talk a little slower, a little louder, and leave your phone number at the beginning of the message? Yeah. So that was our beginning. I don't know if Casey remembers that, but I do. And I think from that moment forward, you know, it's like, okay, the next message I get from Casey, she's ratcheted up her voice a couple notches, and I can understand. And it's like, okay, that was such a little learning thing. But it was also important for me to say it.
Yes.
Because I think the whole telephone thing, so many people don't even bother with it anymore. Fewer and fewer people actually know how to use a telephone. And still, it's very important to us.
Yeah, and especially as we get to a certain age in life, it gets harder to understand things. And so that's a great lesson to learn if you're going to work with seasoned people.
Well, and with anybody. When you think about the people who call here that are in such distress, and maybe our telephone voice is the only connection they have with anything at that point, we've really got to be clear to them.
Yes.
And I just think, again, so many people nowadays are so used to cell phones and texting and all that, that vocal communication is not as important as it once was.
Yeah, and I've done some work as an acting coach, believe it or not, and I would tell my actors, if a person misses a syllable of a word because you fail to express it well, you have failed. It is all about communication. Every vowel, every consonant, at a pace that people can understand. So anyway, that's my little preach for the day. So
she's sitting there nodding.
Okay, Casey, anyway, you are a giver. There are givers and takers, and it seems apparent you are a giver. Have you always had a heart for the underdog? Is that something that goes back in your early DNA?
I am the underdog. I'm the third out of four children, but I'm the baby girl. But for a while, before my brother was born, I was the younger one. I was the little one that didn't really get a say. So my family and my sisters would tease me. And my mom says, if you can't make it in the house, you can't make it out in the world. So they prepared me very well. I'm pretty sarcastic. but I am, I do have a sweet undertone. I've always seen my dad. My dad makes a pretty good amount of money. He has a pretty good job. And it doesn't matter what he has, he'll always give it. Mm-hmm. And I just see him give. And when I came out to college, I didn't have his money, but I would always give. And it got me into trouble sometimes, but I still had the heart. If I'm eating and you don't have money, then we'll both eat something less. Yeah. But we'll both eat, and that's all that really matters.
What do you hope to accomplish here? Do you have some goals for your position here, or is it just generic help the women?
It's not more of helping the women. It's more of just learning.
Okay.
I came here to learn, and wherever I need to be, I will do it, and I will be there.
Do you sense any hesitation from some of the older residents taking instruction or from a youngster?
Once in a while, but usually it goes well.
Okay.
But even though she is younger, she's got her act together way more than some of them, and
sure.
I think they understand that. You remember Lisa Washio?
Yes.
Lisa was not quite as young as Casey, but Lisa, again, very soft-spoken, would never raise her voice, would never say an angry word. But she taught us a lot. I mean, Lisa used to take notes, and that seems so simple, but she would carry a little notepad in her and stick it in her pocket. Because you get so bombarded around here with everything. You can't walk from the kitchen to the front door without having five people interrupt you or the phones ring. But I will never forget Lisa, again, very quiet, very soft-spoken, but the women knew she was in charge. And it absolutely killed Lisa to have to ever say an unkind word. But I will never forget that her first really, really, really tough woman she had to deal with, who ended up having some severe mental issues and was being kind of violent. And I remember Lisa dealing with the woman and then coming to staff and saying, "Someone come help me before I kill her." And I applauded. And I don't know if that sounds wrong, but it was like, you can't be... You have to speak up sometimes.
Yeah.
And when this woman was causing so many issues...
It's
all about boundaries, and Lisa knew she had to deal with the woman and get her out of here.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful experience.
Okay.
But again, a quiet, soft-spoken young person can carry a very big stick. Mm-hmm. And I see Casey doing that.
Casey, how can our listeners pray for Casey?
Just pray. Just pray for me and... that every day I just stay focused on God, that I stay in His Word, and that I am a vessel that my flesh doesn't overtake.
Okay. So the focus on loving God and loving people.
Yeah. Casey has a great way of connecting with our residents, all of them. And so I would like for people to be able to add that to their prayers too, that she feels more and more confident in being that kind of vessel.
Okay, we're out of time. Thank you. It's great to meet you, Casey. And we're going to pray God's blessings on you and strength to get the job done here. Ken, it's your turn. Listeners, my listening friends, thank you for joining us today on this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
And I'm happy to let you know that anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, you can find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. Pretty simple to remember, evangelhome.org. That phone number again in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.